major news, Perk. Cover your ears regarding who? Oh, the Los Angeles Lakers. Head coach Frank Vogel out. According to our Adrian Wojnarowski, Vogel coaches final game for the Lakers on Sunday. A decision that's expected to be shared with him as soon as today. Despite Woj's report, Frank Vogel is staying in the moment.
Frank, right at the end of the game, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that the Lakers are going to be firing you, a decision they'll let you know tomorrow. Have you communicated with the front office at all about your future? And I guess what's your reaction to hearing that?
My reaction is I haven't been told, and I'm going to enjoy tonight's game, celebrate what these young guys did in terms of scratching the claw and getting back in this game, getting a W. And, you know, we'll deal with tomorrow.
Did that get back to you before you walked in this room?
Yes.
Did that affect?
I'm going to enjoy tonight's game and what our guys did tonight and the way we finished out this season. I'm proud of our guys tonight.
Stephen A., you're up first. Does Vogel deserve to be fired?
Yes. We need to get this out of the way. to the Charles Barkleys of the world and others calling this team old geezers and stuff like that, they're absolutely right. To Frank Vogel and his family, I say respectfully yes, but I want everybody to understand where I'm coming from. This man is a champion. He deserves to be a head coach in the NBA. This is not an indictment against his skills as a coach. The situation that he was in was so reprehensible, he didn't need to be there any longer. The Lakers, you have to understand, they require something a little bit different. And when you are 16, 17 games under 500, when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook on your squad, this comes with the territory. When you say he deserves to be fired, the only reason I say that is because that situation ain't changing anytime soon. Mm-hmm. You need somebody that's a stronger voice as a coach. I'm talking cachet. I don't mean voice literally, Jay and KP. I'm talking cachet. Frank Vogel, despite being a champion, doesn't have that. And it's not his fault. Let's be clear about that. This is what we got to point out to. The Lakers organization right now is an atrocity. It's horrible. You got Jeannie Buss listening to Linda Rambis. Respectfully, I'm talking basketball. I'm not talking business. I'm not talking any other tentacles that she may have as it pertains to basketball. What damn credentials does Linda Rambis have? Somebody got to say it. She doesn't have any. There's no business making basketball decisions. And Jeannie Buss listening to her is ridiculous. Kerr Rambis. Let me be very, very clear. Very knowledgeable basketball mind. No doubt about it. And as a champion, as a player, when you were coaching, how'd that work out? When you were an executive, how did that work out? Your record was awful. But you want to be a de facto coach behind the scenes trying to manipulate what the coaching staff look like and how the lineups are used. Well, get your behind out there and do the damn job then. Hire Kerr Rambis so we can look and see what you're going to bring to the table. Because when we saw it after your playing days were over, it wasn't that damn impressive. Not in New York, not in Minnesota. Don't get me started. That's the situation that Frank Vogel had to deal with. He had to deal with that situation because they didn't want him first. They wanted Ty Lue, whose staff they tried to pick for him. And Ty Lue, a champion, said, hell with that. They wanted Monty Williams. He said, this cesspool right here, I don't want no parts of this. I'm going to go to Phoenix. They wanted Jason Kidd, but dredged up stuff from a decade plus earlier as an excuse why he couldn't be the head coach, but you could have him on your bench. And he was supposed to be the head coach in waiting, okay? And then you gave Frank Vogel the job and essentially ran all over him. You wouldn't let him. You assembled a squad. You tried to coach. You tried to tell him who he should and shouldn't play and when he should and shouldn't do it. You could do that because he didn't have that name recognition, that cachet to really, really push back. And the Lakers need a coach that could tell them all to go to hell. I'm the coach. You hired me to do the job. And that's the way it's going to be. That's why Frank Vogel needed to go, because he can't do that to them and get away with it. They need a coach who can.
But you know what coach can do that? Only a coach who has the backing of the front office, that he knows, regardless, I'm going to put my stamp down on this team, and I'm not going anywhere. That doesn't come, Molly, Stephen A., KP, mm-hmm. when after they win a championship, 10 months later, he signs a one-year extension. I mean, that's right from the bat saying, hey, we're not sure exactly. You're a long-term answer. You're a short-term answer.
Right.
So here's where I agree with you, Stephen A., because, number one, when you got players sending out text messagings during games, mm-hmm. okay, when you got Russell Westbrook at the beginning of the year, him saying, hey, Taylor Horton Tucker, all you guys, when you get the rebound, push it, and Russ is saying, no, you're going to give me the ball. When there's that kind of combat, when you got players ignoring the coach's callings from the time they have a timeout, he's lost the ear of players on this team. Let's be honest about it. So I do think they need a change. But the way they went about it is such an embarrassment for this franchise. It's a franchise that won 17 NBA titles.
Yeah.
You at least have to have respect internally to keep this inside before you allow a person like Woj, and I love Woj, I know he's doing his job, to break it and then put your coach in a situation where he has to find out about his job via the internet and then answer questions about it. There is a right way to go about doing your business, right? You wait until the exit interviews, KP. Afterwards, you say, hey, look, this is not going the right way. You handle it in a first-class manner. I'm saying I agree with the move, but everything that set them up into this point, the writing's been on the wall, man. We knew that Frank Vogel was going to be fired. We knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, we knew it was going to happen. We just didn't know when. And it's unfortunate because I really believe that he didn't deserve to be fired. You know, like Frank Vogel won a championship with this team. Frank Vogel had nothing to do with the moves that they made in the offseason. He was just told to, hey, coach this team that we put together. And it's unfair to him because it's like, okay, you got me with all these bullhead guys in the locker room and you expect me to work magic. Here's the thing why it's so disappointing. Because as your head coach, you have assistants on your bench. If you're the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, you have assistants on your bench that should be well respected by the players on your team, like a Phil Handy, who's arguably, in my opinion, the best workout guy in the NBA, best one of the best assistants, three-time champion. You bring in Fizdale, who has the attention of a locker room, who guys could relate to, especially a LeBron James. And so when I look at this situation, it's bad, like you said, J. Will, because Frank Vogel didn't even know he was fired. Like, how you're not man to man, how you're not willing to be man to a man and tell this man face to face that he's lost his job? He has to find out through the media when he comes right. on a press conference. No, this is facts. This is facts.
Right.
This
right.
is facts. And so here's my thing, though, Stephen A.
Okay.
I just feel like he didn't deserve to be fired. It was the wrong decision. He had no doing in what happened during the offseason for us, the trades. And guess what? Frank Vogel knew it was going to be a mess. You know why? Stephen A., who offered me a coaching job this season?
You?
Isn't it Boston?
Yeah, the Lakers. No, the Lakers.
The Lakers did. I got you.
The Lakers offered me an assistant coaching job. You know why? Because they wanted me to come in and be that guy that could have Frank Vogel back but be respected by the guys in the locker room so he could hold them accountable. Well, like Udonis Haslam is doing somewhat on the Miami bench.
Let me make a suggestion to the Lakers, tongue-in-cheek, because you know what? I'm only being facetious because you can't afford me at this point. I'm just going to be real about it, okay? But they should hire me as president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, we fixed some stuff. I promise you that. Because it wouldn't, first of all, I'd be playing with house money. I couldn't be any worse. As a front office, I couldn't be any worse than the Lakers organization has been this year. Hire brother right here. I'm only being facetious because, again, you run your shop like a mom and pop shop. You can't afford me. Bowman could afford me. They couldn't. That's number one. Number two, let me say this to KP and you. As the veteran at this table in the world of media, I don't think we would dispute that. I'm older than both of y'all, and I've been in the damn media longer. We got to stop being so damn soft. And I don't mean us literally. I'm talking about, wait a minute, we cover the NBA. Nobody brought up Frank Vogel's family, his personal life, anything. As the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, Adrian Wojnarowski has a job to do. If you get that information, what are you supposed to do? Sit around and let somebody else report it? You know what I mean? I saw James Worthy and Robert Horry talking after the game, and they talk, and I love both of those brothers. Love them to death, okay? And James Worthy did a hell of a job post-game with the Lakers this year. They talking about, you know, the ethics of the media, like the media did something wrong because you got word that Frank Vogel's getting fired tomorrow. What are you supposed to do, hold it? Of course you're supposed to report that. You ain't talking about his personal life. You're talking about him as the coach. Stop with the softness, okay? Softness, cottonelle damn tissue. All of these people that say this kind of nonsense. We're not talking about your personal life. We're talking about basketball. And as it pertains to Frank Vogel, okay, sure, they could have told him. They should have told him. But how do we know definitively, all right, that they didn't tell him? They just made it, they're just going to make it official today. But I'm here to tell you, Frank Vogel knew today was his last day. Today, tomorrow's last day. He's known this for a little while now. It ain't breaking news. Who's to say that Frank Vogel didn't leak the information that he's getting fired today? We don't know that because as somebody that has covered the NBA for the last quarter century plus, I am here to tell you there have been times when coaches were going to get fired and they were the ones who leaked. Well, I'm getting fired. But don't say
Stephen
nobody, it's us.
Stephen A. KP, can we be real here about this? You're telling me out of nowhere, all of a sudden there start to be reports. Players have received text messages during games. You're telling me out of nowhere.
No, I'm not saying
that. It feels like this was, hey, man, like the Lakers were setting it up for it. It feels like there's a Game of Thrones scenario going around with the Lakers,
right?
No, but
they're setting it up to justify what they're doing.
Justify, yes, exactly.
I'm making the argument that Frank Vogel knew. So the point is, it's entirely plausible that you know, I'm not saying he did. We don't know. But the point is to look at the media and the focus on, oh, my God, Frank Vogel had to walk up in a press conference and answer questions about you're going to be fired tomorrow. Get the hell
that's
over
on the
it.
Lakers. That's not on the media. That's on the Lakers.
No, Stephen.
Hey, it's look. I think we got it mixed up. I'm talking about, and I think Jay Will is talking about how bad the front office of the Lakers is, right? Oh, when you talk about Rob Pelinka, and you talk about Kurt Rambis. Because here's the fact: he didn't know. You could assume, and he could have had assumptions that he was about to get fired, but he didn't know. This is facts from what I'm telling you from somebody that's, you know, that texted me last night that was very heated about the situation. He did not know. He did not know at all until he got to the press conference. And that's just flat out ridiculous, man. Like, at the end of the day, this coach delivered you a championship. He delivered you a championship. The least you could do, the least you could do is wait and get him back to L.A. and have him in the meeting and tell him face-to-face. Like, this man delivered you a championship less than 2 years ago.
No, I hear you, Perk. Handle it more tactfully and gracefully. Absolutely.
I will say this, too, as a last point, get into this Lakers front office. I'm going to call Kurt Rambis out again in this regard. Mm. You want the job, ask for the job.
I'm sure that Jeannie Buss would strongly consider giving you the head coach job. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse to me. I know that he's a senior basketball advisor, which I challenge in and of itself. But that's neither here nor there. But if you want the job, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, to be behind the scenes. And it's one thing to sit up there. Think about this, Molly.
Yeah.
Jay and KP know this. When you're an advisor, you're advising, okay, you should look at this coach. You should look at that coach. And then during the season when your opinion is sought after and they ask your opinion about what's going on, that's different. You don't have people behind the scenes talking about this should be your staff. You should be playing this guy and stuff like that.
It's excessive. Let's move it forward.
Because clearly there's too many voices. Yeah. But, Jay, I want to focus on this. Phil Jackson left 11 years ago. They've had six coaches since. Mm-hmm. Six in 11 years. So tell me this. How desirable is this job?
I wouldn't want a job unless I had sheer autonomy. Unless I knew coming in, hey, Rob Pelinka, you're going to move to the side. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And Stephen A. said it has to be a coach with cachet. I would tell Quinn Snyder. I would tell Nick Nurse. I would tell Juwan Howard. Like, I'm like, leave it alone. Why would you want that? You're going to inherit that problem? Frank Vogel, who is a good defensive-minded coach, he couldn't fix that. Now you're telling me all of a sudden you're going to bring somebody. What's new about the situation? And my thing is, what say did Frank Vogel really have in any matters? Think about this. You have LeBron James. You have Jeannie Buss and Kurt Rambis. And then on top of that, you have Rob Pelinka. Everybody is jockeying for power. Who is the person left out of the whole conversation? It's Frank Vogel, the person that was left to manage all the rumblings, all the pieces of it. So if you're a head coach, I mean, somebody's going to take the job because of the money, and they're the Lakers. But if you're a pristine head coach, I wouldn't be running to that job at all. I would stay far as hell away from it as I could.
Eric,
let me just go ahead, Perk.
Jay, I'm a double down on that. Look, when you talk about all the coaches that could possibly be available that you possibly could get for this job, the only coach that comes to mind to come coach this team, if you're bringing back Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James, is Greg Popovich. That's the only coach I feel like could go in there and get this team under control. Why? Because of his resume, because of what Pop did for the league, because of what he has done in the NBA, things to that nature. So guys respect him. Guys have their respect that they're not going to disrespect Pop because he could challenge them in every aspect that they need to be challenged. But if I'm a coach and I'm out there and I already got a job, I'm definitely not entertaining this job. Now, if I'm looking for my first time to be a head coach, obviously, if you've been a long-time assistant, you got to take the opportunity. But if I'm already established, I'm not leaving what I got going to go coach the Lakers, especially with LeBron James going on 38 years of age.
First of all, it's a couple of things, AP, that I think you're missing here. Number one, you're right about the first time head coach and assistant who's starving to be a head coach. I get all of that. But it really ain't that complicated, KP and Jay. It ain't that complicated like KP just said in terms of, you know, having a coach like Greg Popovich. You know what you really, really need? You really need a dude that will curse you the hell out, that will make the Rambuses of the world scared to be in a meeting with you. You need to be the kind of coach that says, get the hell out. I don't want you in here. You understand? To the point where Jeannie Buss is pulling them because she don't want the drama. See, sometimes you got to create hell to generate peace. You got to do it. All right? You got to be that person.
Sounds
you
like
got,
a my you personal
got to be,
motto.
You got to be that dude. You got to, you know what?
Okay, come on, come am on, I right? Come on. Am I right?
Let me pause. You damn right.
Can I get an
motto.
Amen?
Can I get an amen? You damn right. I mean it. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes you got to create hell to generate peace. And I mean it from the bottom of my damn soul. The problem is, you in Tinseltown, it's L.A., it's sunshine, and you're so appreciative of being there, and you're so desperate to hold on to it, and you don't want to leave, and you don't want to go anywhere. You tolerate stuff that you shouldn't be tolerating. When you sit up there and you let them know, don't play with me, you better get the hell up out of here. You could go into Jeannie Buss and tell her what you want to, but you ain't going to be in these damn meetings. You ain't going to be talking about who we should play. You ain't going to be telling me what speed we should be.
Who is that?
I'm just saying.
But Stephen A.,
anybody listen, Mark Jackson would do. Let me tell you something. Mark Jackson
no.
would. No. I'm just talking personality.
Okay.
I'm talking about. Now, he wouldn't cuss because he's advanced and he's more mature in his older age, and Mark Jackson doesn't do that anymore. But he would send the message. I'm talking about people with those kinds of personalities. I got the job. Keep me or let me go. But what you're not going to do is micromanage me, especially if you a coach that's got a horrible record and you didn't get it done when you had that opportunity. If Phil Jackson is sitting in on coaching meetings, I mean, I got to respect that. If Greg Popovich is sitting in on coaches meetings, Larry Brown and people like that, I got to deal. Pat Riley, I got to live with that. Crap, Rabbits! Linda Rampus are telling me what to do as a coach? Oh, hell no.
Perk,
ain't
go
happening.
Ahead. I know you want to get in.
Ain't here. Happening.
But Stephen A., that's what I'm saying. When you look at this team and you look at your big three that you have, what coach can you bring in? Because it's going to have to be a coach that's been there before. It's going to have to be a coach that's won it before.
But KP,
in order for you to get the best out of those three guys.
You mentioned him, KP. Let me ask you a question. Then, Jay, you go. You know Phil Handy, Kendrick Perkins. Is Phil Handy?
I do.
Hold on. I ask you a question. Because, for those that don't know Phil Handy, Phil Handy is an assistant coach on the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's what you need to know about Phil Handy. Everywhere he's been, he wins championships. As an assistant and as a player development coach. In Cleveland, in Toronto, in L.A., the man where he goes, championships follow. Y'all know his personality. I know his personality. Could you imagine somebody telling him what lineups to use, what schemes to run, what players to play and when. You don't have to be experienced and established to curse someone the hell out and tell them to go kick rocks or fire me. You don't have to be a veteran to do that. All you got to do is have that personality. Kendrick Perkins ain't coach. Kendrick Perkins sitting on here working on ESPN for us. I promise you right now, if Kurt Rambis tried to come up to Kendrick Perkins and Kendrick Perkins coached the Lakers right now and said to him, you got to play. This is who you got to play. This is what you got to do. Kendrick Perk, I don't know what KP might do. I don't know what he might do personally. I don't know what Kendrick Perkins might do to him. You ain't telling him that. All you need is the personality, guys.
Go ahead, KP.
I tell you what, I ain't folding like clean sheets. I know that much.
Damn right.
At the end of the day, but that's the personality I have, Stephen A., and you have. But what other coaches out there that you actually could bring in besides like a Ty Lue, a Steve Kerr, a Greg Popovich? They already kind of established.
They don't even have to hire me, Jay. Just give me a month on the job. I'll do it for free. I'd clean up that front office
You're coming from here.
In 30 days.
And you're matching here.
Right.
You're asking another coach to come from here to try to raise his level. That's the problem with it, is you're dealing with LeBron James, and you're dealing with Rob Pelinka, you're dealing with Jenny Bush, you're dealing with a lot of people that are trying to jockey for position. So I hear what you're saying, but are you going to die by death by a thousand cuts? Because you'd be willing to get slit.
Stephen A. will be the last.
You know what history I have? They messed with Magic. Magic left and talked about people in an organization under Jeannie Buss getting in his way. Frank Vogel don't have to open his mouth. We know what they've done to him. The bottom line is, you connect yourself to Jeannie Buss, you got to clean the rest of that garbage out of there.
Right, Game of Thrones, man.
Yeah.
We got to leave it there. We'll get into this a little bit later. Anthony Davis had some comments on the Lakers' future as well. We'll react to that in just a bit. But to the East we go now, because we had news over the weekend regarding Ben Simmons. The pain-free progress with Simmons back is fueling hope that the three-time All-Star could debut sometime in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, even if it's limited to a 10 to 15 minutes of a game role. He's been ruled out of the play-in tournament, and sources believe that games 1 and 2 of an Eastern Conference playoff series would be too soon to expect him to be ready to make his debut, but there's increasing confidence that he could become available to the Nets sometime in a first-round series, assuming the Nets advance out of the play-in tournament this weekend. Stephen A., is Simmons the key to Brooklyn making a title run?
I believe he is. Let me say this to you. He can't shoot. He can't hit free throws. We all know this. But I believe so much in Kyrie and KD, the players. Don't get me started with the other stuff with Kyrie. Mm-hmm. But the player, okay? I believe so much in them. If Ben Simmons, and I'm not saying because I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. But if Ben Simmons could give you 25 minutes as the Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, I'm just talking about a defender and a playmaker, even with his shooting woes, that's all they would need. As an aside, I am a person, and y'all have known me for years. No matter what I talk about on the air and stuff like that, I'm very, very big on avoiding people's personal life. It's none of my damn business what goes on in their personal life, okay? I'm here to talk about the game of basketball. Ben Simmons would be the lone exception. I want to know what the hell you were doing that you hurt your back. You ain't played since last June. What were you doing? What the hell happened, Kendrick Perkins, Jay Williams? Was he riding up the turnpike on I-95 with a car that was a bit rough around the edges, hit a pothole, and tweaked his damn back? What the hell happened? I want to know what happened. You haven't played a minute, a second, since last June. That is 10 months. You ain't touched a damn basketball in an official capacity. Did you slip in the tub? Was you getting your groove on? And tweak your hip. I mean, did you hit a pothole on the turnpike? What the hell is going on? I can't believe I'm the only one saying this.
You're not the only one.
What was he doing, Jay Williams?
That's the question.
Jay Williams, what the hell was he doing?
I can't defend it.
Was he getting his groove on, tweak the hip the wrong way? I mean, did he hurt his back? I mean, there's several ways you can hurt your back now. You can hurt your back driving at the turnpike. You can do something. He was doing something. I just don't understand it. How the hell you hurt your back? For what?
What were you doing to walk around with a back injury?
Let me ask you this question.
What's going on?
So many questions about it. How the hell can you believe that he would play 25 minutes?
I don't.
You even live in a hypothetical
because
space?
Because they asked the question yesterday on Countdown, and that's why they asked me again.
I know, but my thing is, I'm trying to tell you, you can't even allow yourself to be in a hypothetical space when you're asking this kind of question.
Well, you allow yourself to live in hypothetical spaces? I mean, what the hell is going on?
And the reality came back. Kyrie came back and played. I'm still waiting for Ben Simmons to come back and play.
I agree with you there, but somebody got to answer the question. How you mess up your back? What were you doing? KD? We got to find out.
You need to go to the press conference. Aren't you the self-proclaimed gravedigger anyway? Come on, you still have those skills.
Tell them out.
That is true. Mm-hmm. That is true. But in case you haven't noticed,
what?
I'm kind of a superstar on television. And so as a result, I don't have to go to the games the way that I used to. So, I'm a busy man.
I mean, you know if you want to find out, you can find
company.
Out.
I'm writing my
book.
My book is coming out in January. I can't tell you the title, but my book is coming out. My memoir is coming out in January. All right, Simon & Schuster. I got my own production company. I'm producing and creating content. I'm on the soaps. Okay,
I got that going on.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm doing three different damn shows.
Stephen A's World.
So I'm a busy man. I don't have time. I mean, I'm doing my thing in this platform, and that is why I'm not the grave digger, even though I can be anytime I want to because my Rolodex is big time. I'm just saying, I'm busy. But damn it, I do need to preoccupy myself with finding out how the hell did this man tweak his back. We all need to know so we can avoid these things, because he ain't do a damn thing to tweak his back.
All I'm saying, KP, is I can't have the Brooklyn Nets in a discussion to win anything because I expect nothing from Ben Simmons. I expect absolutely nothing from Ben Simmons.
You mean you don't think he's going to return, or you mean when he returns?
Molly, people were telling me he's going to try to come back and play 15 to 20 minutes. The man hasn't been doing any conditioning.
Yeah.
He has a lower injury back. Right. You know what happens when you start doing conditioning as an athlete? Right. The first thing to go is your damn back. Yeah. It's the first thing to go. Now you're telling me he's going to be the defensive stopper and come out and guard the other team's best player? You're telling me he's going to relieve the Nets that way? Ain't no way in hell that could ever happen. Yeah. Not 10, 15 minutes, yet alone 20, 25.
I think it's safe to say he's been doing something. I don't know what the hell he's been doing, but he's been doing something. I'm a tweak in the back. I mean, come on.
Holding hands around Brooklyn. That's,
yeah.
Perk, where are you on this?
Ben Simmons, I'm not sold. And I'm not sold on the Nets because of their defense. I know how prolific of a scores both Kyrie and KD are. But look, we keep talking about Ben Simmons and what he bring on the defensive side of things. What the hell was Ben Simmons last year when they were playing the Hawks and Trae Young was torching them? What was that defensive stopper then? So I'm not sold on Ben Simmons just being this big defensive stopper when it matters the most. The last time I saw Ben Simmons in June, he folded on both ends of the floor. So at the end of the day, when we look at the Eastern Conference and we look at guys like Giannis, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, even Pascal Siakam, Jimmy Butler, those guys, DeMar DeRozan, that you may have to face, that you may have to strap your boots up and guard if you couldn't guard Trae Young. And Trae Young, listen, is a bona fide young superstar. But you couldn't even slow him down enough in the series on the defensive end, and you're supposed to be a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. If you couldn't slow him down, how the hell am I supposed to trust you with any other superstar that's in the Eastern Conference?
I just think you might have missed something, KB. Maybe he tweaked his back in Atlanta and didn't tell us.
You suck.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
I mean, okay. You're done.
We're going to find out something.
You
got to be available.
Okay.
You got to be available, man.
He was available. He was the wrong style of game.
Nope. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
You said it.
We're going to leave it there. Jay Will, great to have you with us. Thank you. Tragic news over the weekend. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins gone far too soon. Haskins died early Saturday morning after he was struck by a dump truck while he was walking on South Florida's Interstate 595. Authorities haven't given any explanation why Haskins was walking across the interstate. He was just 24 years old. My thoughts and prayers are with his family, his wife, all his loved ones. It's important to note the heart of Dwayne Haskins. His time in Pittsburgh was highlighted by his work in the community. He jumped right in to pay it forward in his new home. Stephen A., such a tragedy over the weekend.
It's heart-wrenching. ruined the weekend, to be quite honest with you. The news was shocking. A lot of us didn't expect to hear something like that. Mike Tomlin said it best. You know, you see it on the screen there, how devastated he is, loss of words. You almost find yourself in that position. 24 years of age, a good dude by anybody who's ever been around him. People talked about his infectious smile. Yeah, he had Ohio State in the 50 touchdowns and beat Michigan and Ann Arbor and all of this other stuff. And that don't really matter at this point. What my heart goes out to his wonderful wife. He just got married in March of 2021, had a bright future, just smart, and a really, really decent person at his core. And to have something like this happen to him is just, sometimes you just look at life and, you know, it seems cruel at times, and then you think about the angelic individuals that certain people are. And then you say, hey, maybe God just called them home a little bit earlier because they were too good for this place. That's the only thing that you could deduce from it at the end of the day, because he was really, really a good guy by everybody, you know, according to everybody who has known him, with that infectious smile of his. And it's just a damn shame that he's not here with us any longer. The NFL community and the sports community is devastated, because guys like that, you want to see around for a long, long time to come. And it's just sad that he's gone.
Yeah, he had his whole life ahead of him, praying for a
24.
Peace that passes all understanding for all of his loved ones. Again, our heartfelt condolences are with the Haskins family. He's survived by his wife, his parents, and his sister. Dwayne Haskins gone at just 24 years old. We'll be right back.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast.
Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. The NBA regular season is in the books and seeding is set for the playoffs. Let's get it. The Sixers will host the Raptors in round one. The Sixers and Raptors have played four times this season, and Toronto handled Philly in three of those four games. That's despite Philadelphia posting a better field goal percentage and three-point field goal percentage in those games. But the scoreboard is what matters most. Perk, talk to me. Should the Sixers be worried about the Toronto Raptors?
Hell no. Hell no. And let me explain to you why, Molly, okay? When you have a guy like Joel Embiid, a guy that's leading the league in scoring, a guy that's averaging 30-plus, a center that has done it, has led the league in scoring, not since Shaq, you don't have nothing to worry about. You know why? For the simple fact that Joel Embiid is going to be the best player in this series. That's what's going to get the 76ers through this series. Now, you get Joel Embiid being the best version of himself. Now you could add in a sprinkle of James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, and Tobias Harris. And look, I know everybody's making a big fuss about Matisse Thybulle and him not being able to play in Toronto. And I get that because he's a problem on the defensive end. But at the end of the day, guess who has home court advantage? The Philadelphia 76ers. And guess who played better at home? Role players play better at home. So if it happened to go seven games, which I think is going six, but if it happened to go seven games, guess what a seventh game is on? On the Philadelphia 76ers home court. And the role players are going to play better if it go to seven games. But I got Philly winning this series. I love Toronto. I love what Nick Nurse is doing. I think Scottie Barnes is the rookie of the year. But I'm going with Philly all day long.
I agree with you that Scottie Barnes is rookie of the year, KP. But the reality of the situation is that you're misrepresenting the question. I didn't pick the Sixers to lose this series either. But there is concern. They got reasons to worry. Because think about it this way, KP. You're Toronto. You can win your home games considering how thin the Sixers bench is and the absence of Thybulle as a defensive force. Now the question I pose to you is, is Toronto not capable of stealing one road game? Because that's the question that you have to ask yourself when you look at a series like this. We know that Joel Embiid is the best court player on the court. There ain't no question about that. There ain't no debate about that. But the point is, the question about whether or not the Sixers should be worried, I'd say yes, because an ace defender is gone for those road games in Toronto. And in terms of their depth on their bench, I think it's questionable, not to mention a balanced scoring attack. You got Siakam at 22 a game. You got Van Vliet at 20 a game. You got our rookie of the year, and Scottie Barnes, he's at 15 a game. You've got this cat, Gary Trent Jr., whose game continues to elevate. I mean, I'm just looking at these guys, and I'm saying, excuse me, I can't ignore this. As an aside, Kendrick Perkins, I do want to say this because it's important that I say. I'm not going to call anybody dumb. Put Kendrick Perkins up on that screen because I love looking at Kendrick Perkins when I say stuff like this. You remember when I had you cracking up laughing because I was going off about the Knicks and the slam dunk contest? The Knicks actually won something. Remember that? Now, I must caution you that you might be that way with this particular thing I'm about to say. We don't want to call anybody dumb. But I ask a rhetorical question to Kendrick Perkins and Molly Q. What the hell am I supposed to call somebody who takes the vaccine shot and take the first shot and forget to take the second shot? Dumb. That's what you call them. What the hell is going on? Kyrie was principled. I disagree with him,
because I felt he owed it to the team. But damn it, he took his position and he was clear. I ain't taking the vaccine. Jaylen Brown reportedly, guess what? He might not have taken the vaccine. Okay? Oh, Dibble took it. He just forgot to take the second shot. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is some unbelievable stuff.
How was the team not on top of that, though?
I'm getting to them. Getting to them in a second. How in the hell do you take the fives of everybody and their mama, not just in the United States of America, but globally, Kendrick Perkins, globally. In Istanbul, for crying out loud. Everybody knows the vaccine with the Pfizer and the Moderna shot. They're two shots. Everybody. Johnson & Johnson is one. What are we going to say? Thibault will confuse Johnson & Johnson with Pfizer or Moderna? That's what we're going to do? We're going to use that as an excuse. And if he has that excuse, we're going to say the whole Sixers organization had that excuse. Idiocy. I mean, idiocy at its height. How in the hell do you have a defensive ace that you know you're going to need for the playoffs, and I thought that he refused to take the shot? No, Kendrick Perkins, he took one shot. He just didn't take shot number two, according to the reports. If
that's
that is true, if that is true, I mean, that might go down. I mean, we got to have a list of the dumbest things that we have seen in sports. That's up there. And I'm talking historically. I ain't talking this year. I'm talking historically. We got to look at stupidity at its height on the part of a player and a part of an organization. And we got to sit up there and say, we got to investigate we got to investigate what has been dumber than this. It's necessary. It's necessary.
Perk, one thing that I wanted to go back to what you said really quick. You want to respond to Stephen A. first?
Yeah.
No, not at all. He was dead on. I can't respond to him, Molly. He was right.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said, because obviously when you were talking about the Sixers, you're saying Joel Embiid's the best player, and you said a sprinkle of James Harden. So I want to ask both of you, where are we right now with James Harden? Because at first it was this dynamic duo, and now if we're just expecting a little something from him in the playoffs, Perk?
You know what? I'm going to say this. At first I was a little harsh on James Harden. And then I started watching the 76ers play. And I started watching the way that James Harden was playing in the regular season. And what he was doing was, and it's just my personal opinion, I haven't spoke to anybody, this is just me evaluating the game. What I saw out of James Harden was a guy trying to help Joel Embiid win the scoring title. A guy that was trying to help Joel Embiid win his first MVP. Because I saw him not only not being super aggressive, but I saw him being very, very passive a lot of times and making sure he got the big fella involved. Now look, at the end of the day, it's about him rising to the occasion. Again, you don't need James Harden to go out there and get you 40 no more. You don't need James Harden to go out there and get you 30. All you need James Harden to do is go out there every single night and get you 20 to 25 points. And I believe that he could do that. And if he don't do that, he better be leading the postseason in assists, because he's getting everyone involved like Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris. So I had to go back and take a back seat and say, oh, James Harden only shot 8 times this game. James Harden only got 12 attempts this game. Let me go check this out. And then I went back and rewatched the tape, and he was trying to get his big fella involved.
Listen.
Where are you on Harden in the playoffs, Stephen A.?
I'm not disagreeing with Kendrick Perkins. I just don't want to hear that. You got to show up if you James Harden. I want to hear that. I want to hear, I want Joel Embiid to get MVP, and I want Joel Embiid to win the scoring title. How about all that? You better get it done. James Harden is looking for a $200 million contract within the next year and a half. You think Philly going to endorse him getting that? They don't show up? James Harden wants Mike D'Antoni as his coach. That might be the only excuse to lose. Because if Doc Rivers loses, chances are Daryl Morey and the Sixers are going to switch out Doc Rivers for Mike D'Antoni. And I don't support that. But I'm not ruling out the possibility and the likelihood that it's going to happen. James Harden also has to validate what Daryl Morey did. Me personally, I'm a fan of James Harden. I think that he's one of the more prolific offensive players we've ever seen in the game's history. I mean, the brother can ball. There's no doubt about that. But what I'm saying is you still got to get it done. When we talked about anything that may have happened in Brooklyn, let me remind everybody, KD's a two-time champion. Kyrie is a champion now. Kyrie, in the finals, when they won the chip, averaged 27 a game. When they lost the chip, he averaged 29 a game. The brother shows up, and he's got a chip to prove it. James Harden has never played in an NBA Finals with the exception of when he was a role player coming off the bench backing up Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. So all I'm saying to you is that now that you in Philly and Daryl Morey trades Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, Ben Simmons, two first-round picks for you, you got to show up. And ain't nobody going to want to hear what Kendrick Perkins just outlined. I want to make Joel Embiid look good. I got news for you. Joel Embiid don't need too much help looking good. I mean, the guard gets you the ball, and I get it, but I'm just saying facetiously to some degree. Joel Embiid is Joel Embiid. He's established in Philly. We good. It's James Harden that got to show up. And if he doesn't, Lord have mercy. I don't think he understands the level of heat that's going to come his way in the city of Philadelphia.
But, yeah, but Stephen A., I was saying in the regular season. I'm not saying going into the postseason. I'm holding James Harden accountable. Look, when you talk about a guy that's under the most pressure this postseason, he's that guy that's under the most pressure for us out of coaches, out of players. He's that guy because of what he did and how he did it.
Right.
Now, with that being said, I just haven't lost faith in James Harden.
Neither have I.
That he still could go out there and deliver. No, I feel like he still could go out there and deliver in great fashion. Like, yeah, I'm not jumping off the James Harden bandwagon just yet.
Neither am I. But what I'm saying to you is this. When the playoffs approach, you should be working on bettering your game for the postseason in preparation for the postseason. I don't want anybody out there to lean on Kendrick Perkins' words and say, well, you know James Harden didn't do that because he was trying to help Embiid win the scoring title and MVP. Damn that! You got a chip to go after. Yeah. And you better come close to getting that damn thing.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
The last time the Sixers were in a conference finals was when you were following AI everywhere, like Fridays.
Yes.
That'd be 2001.